2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Yeah, welcome back in. It's Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, 12 days away till BYU football is back. It's almost here, people. This is the last Saturday without college football, so celebrate. Every Saturday from here on out, Matt and I are going to be giving you updates on college football. It's going to be a fantastic thing. We can't wait. And so it's a lot of exciting things taking place in the BYU football world, but there's also a lot of excitement kind of in the media world. There's some change-ups on the coverage of BYU. And our next guest is moving from one major outlet to a new one. He's now the new Deseret News BYU beat writer. He is Jay Drew. Jay, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday.
Thanks. It's good to be on with you guys.
Yeah.
Big changes in the air, and I'm really excited to be able to come on and talk to you about it.
Well, congrats on the position, Jay. Tell our listeners a little bit more about your new role now with the Deseret News.
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty much doing the same things I did for my previous newspaper. I'll be covering BYU, more specifically BYU football. Some of the names there that BYU fans are probably accustomed to reading, Jeff Call, Dick Harmon, Brandon Gurney, are still there. I'm just kind of bolstering the coverage. I'll kind of be the lead football writer for BYU football, and then Jeff will do the lead BYU basketball writing. And, of course, Dick will still provide commentary and opinion, and Brandon will still weigh in with sidebars and other sports topics. So, yeah, it's exciting. I'm really happy that they took me on and really excited to kind of see what we can do as a team down there this year.
Jay, you've been down at all the media availabilities. We've been there suffering in the sun of those hot late afternoons in Provo, Utah. From your vantage point, what's been kind of the biggest takeaway for you so far from what you've seen at camp?
Yeah, I would probably say that, you know, Zach Wilson's ready to go. He looks, you know, 100%. Nobody's even talking about the shoulder anymore, it seems like. So that's a big takeaway. The other is that this looks like they've got a lot of good-looking football players on this roster. I don't know if, you know, you brought in Tyson Williams and Emmanuel Tsuka and others, but there are a lot of just really good-looking football players. And we haven't seen Moroni Lalulu-Pututau yet, and some other guys that are yet to join the team, but as far as practice goes, and so it's only going to get even more impressive. But I guess those two things kind of stand out, is Zach Wilson and then just the overall look that this is a bigger, faster, stronger football team than I remember seeing last year, to be honest.
Jay Drew is our guest, BYU beat writer for the Deseret News here on Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio. And speaking to that talent, Jay, I mean, you've been covering the program since 2008, if I'm not mistaken, the 2008 season. In the independence era, however, from 2011 to now, with that high praise of the talent that BYU has, would you say that maybe on paper, at least, this might be the best talented team in the independence era?
Yeah, I would probably go so far. I'm a little hesitant to say that because of the receivers. I don't think they've got the type of receivers that they've had, you know, in the past years, even kind of the recent past. I'm kind of thinking of, you know, guys that like Nick Kurtz and some of the other JUCO guys they brought in, and Devon Blackman, and just Taron Houck, and I'm just kind of pulling names off the top of my head, but I don't know that they really have, and Mitch Matthews would be another one, that I don't know if the receiving core is as good as some of those were, but I think most every other position, I'm pretty confident to say that, yeah, that this is seemingly one of the more talented BYU teams in the independence era, for sure.
You touched on Morone Laulupututau, still has not practiced with the team. I look at the tight end group, Jay, and I'm like, if Matt Bushman gets hurt, and let's knock on wood that he doesn't, it's going to be tough at that tight end position. How do you view the tight end group, and maybe what have you heard about the return of Morone?
Yeah, as far as the Moroni's return, it's looking like he was trying to pass some tests and trying to get some test scores to show the NCAA that he was on track toward a major. And he was literally taking four classes in summer, this summer, recently completed summer quarter or block or whatever they call it. And so I think they're still waiting on some of those test scores to come back. So the last I heard was that he should be able to join the team Monday, this coming Monday. So, which is good for us because there's going to be media availability that day. And that's the last I've heard on Moroni. If right now Matt Bushman looks like he's going to be carrying a big part of the load. Joku Kuafu's been a little dinged up. We haven't seen him recently in practice. And if they have to rely on some of those younger guys like Isaac Rex and Carter Wheat, that could be a little bit of a scary situation. So it's going to be really important to get Moroni back, I guess, is the bottom line.
Jay Drew is our guest for a few more moments here on Cougar Sports Saturday. In 12 days, BYU is going to be taking on Utah August 29th in Provo. What area do you think BYU has potentially an advantage over Utah this year, Jay?
Yeah, I really can't really think of one. I mean, I think BYU's offensive line would probably be, but then you go and look and, you know, Utah's always loaded on the defensive line. And so that one kind of came to mind quickly until I remembered that Utah's always, you know, really good in that area. Usually home field advantage isn't really huge in this rivalry game. And BYU hasn't been able to kind of use that in the last, whatever, four or five losses they've had to Utah at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. But I think it might be this year just because it's the, you know, season opener. I think that students are going to be on campus. I'm not totally positive on that, but do you guys know, are the students back yet? They'll be back, or do they start the following Monday?
I think they start the following Monday.
Yeah, so, you know, you think maybe some of them would come a few days early.
Sure.
Just to catch this season opener. But so, yeah, you know, if I'm looking for a BYU advantage, I'd just say that home field advantage, they've got to use it. They've got to figure out a way to just make, if you were at the game last year at Rice-Eccles, I maintain that if that game was anywhere else, BYU would have won that game. But that crowd in that fourth quarter just lifted the Utes. I mean, they just injected this confidence and this momentum into that football team. I've never seen anything like it. Of course, the pick six kind of sparked the fire and kind of ignited everything. But, you know, BYU's got to figure out a way to capture that. They're taking steps. They're getting the students in the same area, like the Muss has up at the U. It was just really impressive. I got to hand it to Utah's crowd, and I think BYU can do the same thing. But I think it's going to take some work.
Last thing for you, Jay. Do you have a piece that you're working on for the Des News that maybe you can give us a little sneak peek, your first piece at the new place?
Yeah, I just, in fact, I just filed it. It'll be in Monday's paper online tomorrow. Just kind of going over the five key position battles that I see as they head into the last few days of camp before they start game week prep. Just, you know, you guys probably could name them as well. Middle linebacker, right tackle, running the RB1, kicker, and I think defensive tackle, I think, is the fifth one. So I just kind of went kind of in depth on all five of those battles and kind of, you know, posited the theory that that there seem to be more kind of close battles this year than in recent memory.
You can follow him on Twitter at Drew J. He's a new football BYU beat writer for the Deseret News. Jay, appreciate the time, and we'll have to do this again.
Sounds good. Anytime, guys.
That's Jay Drew of the Deseret News here on Cougar Sports Saturday, and you can look forward to his new piece, his first piece, his first byline, coming up on Monday at thedeseretnews.com.
I'm hoping, Mitch, that plane tickets for the students were just cheaper on the Thursday before school starts. I mean, hey, it's usually expensive on the weekends, so students, come on in early and fill Lavelle Edwards Stadium, because I think he does bring up a good point. BYU fans, anyone that who's on the fence or going to that game, you got to bring it. It's been a long time since BYU's had that decisive edge with a home court advantage from the stadium. And I've been there the last couple of years, every home game. There's a remarkable advantage for the home crowd up the hill than there is in Provo, and that's got to flip in 12 days.
Well, it's not a coincidence. I mean, that Michael Shelton last year was saying how he enjoyed road games more than the home games, because BYU the last 2 years, they've had some duds performances at home. They've had UMass, Northern Illinois. BYU has not been good at home, but this year it does feel like that opener, it's going to be an electric atmosphere. I mean, I was talking with Dave McCann on KSL TV, and he was even getting me hyped. He's like, when the planes are flying over, it's going to be an awesome, rocking atmosphere at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. But BYU's got to capture that. And I think Jay makes a good point that Utah's crowd did kind of lift that team. They got that pick six. That Utah offense was stagnant. And then Utah got really things rolling there, even after BYU responded and got up 27-7 with 16 minutes left in the game. Utah's crowd just kind of lifted them, and BYU fans got to do the same for the Cougars in that home opener, because they're going to need all aspects of the game. The team, the coaches, the fans, they got to be all in, because Utah is really good this year. They're going to be a preseason top 15 team.
Yep, and I would add to that, Mitch, regarding the poor performances in the past, let's all go to this game, let's pack the stadium, and let's see what happens. Before we decide it's not worth our time, let's give these guys a chance to prove to us that this is a new offense, an explosive offense that's capable of making it fun to be at games at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Let's see how it plays out before we judge them.
And I hope it's a sellout, too. I hope that it's packed. It's a stadium that's jam-packed to the brim, and it's a field at rocking atmosphere down in Provo.
Absolutely. Okay, we got to take a break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Stay with us, because we got the top five on the other side.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.